Hi everyone, it's Gavin J, the best thing since spring. And you listen to the Therapy Suite right here on UKF Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I speak to Sonia Rowe, where both her and her team from Age UK, North Tyneside, do so much in the community for our older adults population. That's what we'll be talking about today. Sonia, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm good, Gavin. Thank you for having me. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about everything that we do in the North Tyneside area.
Absolutely perfect, no problems. And you know what, as I mentioned before, I am quite familiar with Age UK down in East London, and I know how invaluable as a team you are, as an agency, you know, to help people, the older population, etc. So I really like to give, I think there needs to be more awareness for Age UK and how much help they provide in the community. So, you know, absolutely my pleasure to have you on the show. I think we should start off with a bit about yourself, your background. Your background, go back how many years you want, no problem, to where we are today. I mean, how did you, you know, get to where you are today in Age UK and that kind of thing?
Well, I think it might be to some of your listeners a bit of an interesting story. So I'm a mum, I'm a wife. Obviously, I'm the daughter of somebody, and the daughter of somebody whose dad had Alzheimer's. So historically, I worked for a government agency who promoted international trade of goods and services in lots of different markets. My actual market was China. So I made multiple trips backwards and forwards to mainland China and Hong Kong, promoting Northeast goods and services on behalf of businesses located here in the Northeast region. And basically, we were trying to find a foothold in that market overseas for those businesses. At the same time, my dad was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and he was quite young, actually. His condition was a really heavy burden, actually, for my mum and the family around us. We were very lucky because we had some NHS professionals within the family who very quickly recognised the signs. And back then, dementia wasn't really a condition that was widely talked about. A lot of people would talk about cancer. A lot of people would talk about various different health conditions. But actually, dementia didn't really, you know, raise its ugly head that often. And it was one of those conditions that wasn't widely understood. Anyway, sadly, my dad passed away, and he was fairly young when he passed away. And it had, if you can imagine, a very profound effect on me and on my mum and the family. And as a result, I ended up leaving the role within international trade and coming to work for Age UK in North Tyneside about 8.5 years ago now. What really attracted me to the role was actually the ability to provide services to older adults in the area, an area, you know, I'm actually from Northumberland, but North Tyneside is very, very close to us. So I felt that I would be able to influence goods and service provision for older people, real people living on the doorstep who sometimes can drop below the radar. So that's how I ended up in Age UK North Tyneside. Haven't looked back. Absolutely love it. We work closely with the NHS. We are commissioned to deliver services for the NHS. I think there are misconceptions about Age UKs, and I think it's the perception could be that we work with much, much older adults. But actually, we work with working age adults as well. So we work with people aged 50 plus. In North Tyneside specifically. So, yeah, I think kismet, maybe fate brought me here, but I'm very happy to be here.
Brilliant. And thank you for that. That's a really nice kind of way of explaining how you kind of became involved with Age UK. I noticed you mentioned about older adults where they become maybe they're more to themselves, more isolated from the community because I think that gets to a certain point in life, and not with everybody, but with people I've certainly worked with, where there's not too much interaction from the community, and there's a lot of people that are isolated. You know, there's no real networks. And I mean, in the past, has Age UK done any like drop-ins to people or offered kind of a phone number to contact in that kind of case?
Yeah, we do. Loneliness and isolation sadly impacts an awful lot more people than you could possibly imagine, really. Age UK nationally did a survey quite recently where they identified that 1.4 million older adults consider themselves to be lonely now. And I think COVID and the pandemic massively impacted that and increased those feelings of loneliness and isolation. You know, as you'll appreciate, and I'm sure your listeners do, when the pandemic landed, we were all forced to stay at home and stay safe, and we all followed the guidance. And our older adult population were asked to shield, actually, and remain safe behind their front doors, which they did, of course, because they, you know, they followed the guidelines, as we all did at the time. But as a result, and this is really quite sad, and the evidence tells us, by the way, Gavin, that, you know, our customers are telling us this, that they've lost confidence as a result of the pandemic. They haven't been out and about as much. As a result of not getting about out and about and being as active as they once were, they're telling us that, you know, their muscle mass has atrophied. They don't have that confidence that they once had to walk into a place and socialise and connect with their own community. So it has had a massive impact, sadly. And obviously, you know, older adults were lonely and isolated pre-pandemic, but it certainly had a much bigger effect. There's a statistic that was recently shared again from another Age UK survey that says that something like 27%, and that's 4.3 million people, now can't walk as far as they did pre-pandemic. 37%, about 6 million older adults again, are saying they have feelings of, that they have less energy now than they did pre-pandemic. And all of these things, you know, in a if you like, in a marketplace where we're encouraging older people to get active and stay fit and build their resilience, but actually that pandemic, you know, dealt a huge blow to the older population. And we're trying, if you like, to try to sort of arrest that decline and turn that around with some of our services.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm totally with you on that. I speak to many people in the community, and the person themselves and family, a number of different people have advised how their loved one or the person themselves advised how pre-pandemic they were out and about, but then since COVID, etc., in the isolation, a lot of people's mobility deteriorated to the point where they needed walking aids and they never needed it before. And also memory, a lot of people's memory became affected in terms of the onset of maybe a cognitive impairment, which i.e. might be Alzheimer's, dementia, etc., and so on. So I myself have heard how, from people themselves and family members, as I mentioned, how much COVID affected people. So it's absolutely awful, really.
And it's absolutely right, Gavin, because if you lack that sort of that regular stimulation that you get from other people, connecting with people, talking with people, you know, forming sentences even. If you're sat at home in front of the TV, perhaps, with no one other than the TV for company, then, you know, you do become isolated, you do become lonely. And we've had instances, and, you know, I wouldn't say these are very regular instances, but certainly, yeah, on a regular basis, actually, that would be the case, where people will say to us, they'll ring us or they'll pop into the office and they'll say, actually, you're the first person I've spoken to today. In a lot of cases, they literally have the TV or the radio for company and that's it, which is quite sad, really, in this day and age, isn't it?
Absolutely. I've spoken to professionals where they've told me that they are sometimes the last person to have contact with a member of the community before they unfortunately pass away. Yeah. Because either they have no family or friends or anyone, or they do have family, but they're not in touch. So for whatever reason that might be. And it's quite sad. It's really sad. That isolation it really affects the older population. And we have an aging population. So people are living longer. And, you know, it's about quality of life. So, you know, it's I think it's so important to kind of, you know, help the community in that sense of, you know, over the loneliness of just being alone. Yeah. I know Age UK In some areas, they offer befriending services over the phone. You do that as well. Brilliant.
Yeah, we do that.
So yeah, which is fantastic. And that was something, my understanding is that became more popular during COVID as well. That's something
it
that
did.
Became, yeah.
Yeah, it was an existing service that we'd always had pre-COVID. And it really is a lifeline to some people, actually. Some people who were housebound, who aren't as mobile, who can't get out and about quite as often. So we always had a home befriending service. Which it did continue during the lockdown. Sadly, it had to move to telephone befriending services only for that period of time. But our customers, you know, fed back to us that that was an absolute lifeline to them because they were being bombarded in the media by, if you can imagine, negative material. They were constantly bombarded by this, if you like, almost scaremongering. So they really needed somebody who could talk to them, who could explain what was going on. You know, not in all cases, because I'm not suggesting for one second that our older adult population are easily confused. But you can imagine being constantly bombarded by that sort of media messaging. They really just needed someone who was friendly and down to earth, just to have a normal chat with them, just to put some perspective into their day, actually. So our befriending services, again, have continued. Right now, we support 49 customers through both telephone and home befriending. So we've actually gone back to visiting people within their own homes. We have a fantastic army of volunteers who do that for us. They're amazing people. There was a volunteer this morning who was in my office, actually, in North Tyneside there. And she said, you know, could I borrow your office just to make a few calls to my customers? So, yeah, so she sits and she has a half a day in our office. She just makes telephone calls. And she's just got this fantastic, sunny disposition. And she just lights up a room. And so you can imagine those customers at the other end of the telephone having a chat with this lady. But, you know, it just makes their day. But, you know, during the pandemic, we were delivering things like food parcels. We had had a great relationship with, I don't know if she would like to be called a celebrity. I'm not very sure, but she's a Northeast lady, Vicky Pattinson, who was on...
Oh, Geordie Shore.
Yeah, Geordie Shore, the jungle
right,
program.
Okay,
you know,
which, yep,
but yeah,
yep.
Get me, celebrity, get me out of here.
I don't watch
one.
It, but I remember, you know, you hear it here and then. I remember her being on it. She was on one of the first shows or something.
Yeah.
So she was involved. That's brilliant.
Yeah, so she took it upon herself, thankfully, thank you, Vicky Pattinson, to do a weekly food parcel drop. So Age UKs around the country would receive food parcels on behalf of older people who were shielding during the pandemic. So on a Friday morning early, we would receive a pallet or more of food parcels, and we would get them out into the community really quickly. But being able to sort of position that food parcel on somebody's front doorstep, step back a little bit, and then just have a 10-minute chat with them. That was a huge lifeline to customers. They absolutely really appreciated that. And, you know, because a lot of our regular services couldn't continue during the pandemic, we were actually going out and doing grocery shopping for our customers who were shielding.
Yep.
So we would take the shopping list and we would pop to the supermarket, bring their shopping home and their change home, and then give them back to them. So they were safe, at least at home, and they were following the guidelines. And it was, you know, it was hugely comforting for them to be able to chat to somebody about what was going on outside of their front room, if you like. So the befriending service, that still continues now. As I say, we've got 49 customers at the moment, all supported by volunteers who do an amazing job. They are phenomenal.
Fantastic. And exactly what yourselves were doing in Tyneside, I think it's no different to Age UK, even down here. I'm not sure if Age UK as an organisation across the UK do all the same things, but what you just said there is exactly what was happening, you know, down here in London. So, and I know that firsthand, and it was an amazing service that they provide, which yourselves provide. And I know that firsthand from hearing from customers and people, you know. We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ann and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad,
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So, Sonia, HUK do so much. Talk to us a bit more about what yourselves do.
Wow, where to start, really, Gavin? It's a really broad remit, actually. I think people probably think that, they think HUK, they think charity shops. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
Well, we in North Tyneside don't have our own charity shop, as it happens.
Okay.
But HUK nationally do. So we do have representation there. But where to start? So I think one of our big flagship services would be our information and advice provision. So customers can approach us with any kind of issue, and believe me, they do. But what we tend to find is that a customer might present with a particular issue, or they might need advice on a particular subject. But actually, when we start to unpick that issue, that problem, there's actually a myriad of other issues there that can be tackled and we can support them with. So one of the big things that we do is we support our customers, if you like, to look and explore what benefit entitlement there is for them. Because as you'll appreciate, I'm sure, the older population don't like to ask for help. They are very content to take what's thrown at them. But actually, once they start and ask us the question, you know, we're like their champions, if you like, and we really investigate on their behalf, and we can unearth benefits that they might have been entitled to for quite some period of time. And generally, you know, on an annual basis, we'll leverage about £1.5 million in North Tyneside of unclaimed benefits for our customers.
Unclaimed?
Unclaimed benefits. This is benefit entitlement that these people are literally entitled to, that have no idea. It's really unfortunate. But then they don't know how to ask, they don't know how to apply. You know, a lot of these things now, you have to apply online. Well, you know, not everyone has access to the internet. Not everyone has a device that they can use to apply online for these sorts of benefits. So we would do all of that for our customers. So we have an information and advice team. So literally, as you walk through the front door, you'll be met by our fantastic customer service team, who are just absolute angels. They really are. They provide a warm welcome, but also they really champion older people's issues. They'll triage that person's inquiry or issue or problem that they might have, and then think where they can plug them into services in North Tyneside that will really benefit them. So the benefits check thing, that's just one thing. But it might be that, you know, they've got housing issues, or they might want to claim for a certain thing. So, for instance, you know, we have occasions where our ex services population might say, I think I'm entitled to a medal for a thing. And our team can start and really get to grips with that kind of issue for our customers. So it's great. And we do get a lot of repeat business, shall I say, because customers have a fantastic service from us. So that's just one of the very first services. But so we have a large team of dementia specialists who work as part of Age UK North Tyneside provision. And we have what are known as admiral nurses. I don't know if you've come across this term before, Gavin, but no. Everyone's aware of Macmillan nurses.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you can imagine, you know, a Macmillan nurse supports the person with the diagnosis, but also the family unit around that person.
That's right, yeah.
Well, our Admiral nurses do exactly the same for a person who has a diagnosis of dementia. So they support the family and the carer of that person. And it might be that they provide them with, you know, real psychological support to get them through these issues of being a carer. You know, something like, for instance, coping mechanisms that they might be able to engage with, and that really help their caring, you know, responsibilities. So we offer lots of activities as well for people who are living with dementia. That could be what we call meeting centres. There are no other meeting centres in the whole of the Northeast region. Age UK North Tyneside is the only one to provide them. And again, these provide, if you like, a social club for the person with the diagnosis and their carer. They can come along together, meet in a, if you like, a friendly, non-judgmental setting where they can learn from their peers and learn from the experts in the room as well. So meeting centres, we provide stuff like sing-along memories, which, for instance, our TikTok following is about 3,600 TikTok followers, and they love it when we post material from our singing groups. We have some fantastic people who come along to the singing groups, again, supported by volunteers who help us. Another group that we support are our ex-services colleagues and veterans and the spouses and the carers of veterans in North Tyneside. And we work in partnership with a local organisation called Operation Veteran. And they support ex-service people because they speak a very similar language, obviously. You know, if you haven't been in the armed forces, you tend not to be privy to this kind of language. So we partner with those guys, and it gives us an opportunity to really help ex-service people. What else do we do? So we have a transgender group for our over 50s. So our customers there can come and meet and chat and get involved in activities together, again, in a great non-judgmental setting where they feel welcome, where they feel safe. And they can, you know, they can explore different possibilities, and, you know, they can just talk to like-minded people. So we have lots of different services on offer. One of the biggest areas of service provision that we have at the moment is to really support those customers who were shielding behind their front doors during the pandemic, to help them get up, about, more resilient, try to build up their strength and their fitness levels, really so that they can combat the potential illnesses and long-term frailty that the pandemic has really brought, unfortunately. So we offer lots of activities like walking football, really popular. Okay. Yeah, really popular with the gents and the ladies. Tai Chi, Pilates, yoga, line dancing, massively, massively popular. Brilliant. Yeah, but then we offer other things. You know, we've got a reading group for people who want to sit and chat about, you know, that particular book that they've found enjoyable. So the remit is huge, honestly. Gavin, I could talk all day about the different services we've got, but what we have done, which I think is very important, is we consulted with our customers and we asked them
Brilliant.
What they would like us to deliver on their behalf. Rather than assuming that we're the experts, we consulted with our stakeholders. And obviously we work in close partnership with lots of other agencies in North Tyneside to bring services to the older population that they actually want. Never assume that you know what they want.
100%, absolutely. I think it's crucial to get people's point of view. And I like what you mentioned early on, because when I speak to people, I might visit them in their homes for my work or whatever it is might be, I notice how people are so, I think it's that generation as well, if I'm going to be honest with you, it's a very strong generation, and they just want to kind of do things themselves. They feel guilty about accepting support. I've heard this so many times, and they said, oh, you know, I'll be all right. There's other people out there that need more services than I do. And I'm like, Mr. or Mrs., you have to listen to me for a minute.
You're so right.
We're here to help you. We're going to help other people as well. But this is about you. We want to make sure that you're okay, you know. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm trying to persuade the person to accept the service. You know, it's in a way, it's quite sad really as well, because you can see people want to stay really independent. And sometimes it's difficult to have that discussion saying, do you know what? Do you think actually it might be a bit of help, you know, just to benefit you through the day, through the week? It's not easy because people want to stay independent.
They do.
I don't know if you find that yourself.
We certainly do, Gavin. Honestly, you know, that really does resonate with what we find with our older population and older customers. They'll often say, oh, I'm not entitled to anything. Or there's worse people off than I am.
That's the one I always hear.
Yeah. But why should you be worse off? Why should you personally be worse
Absolutely.
Off if you're entitled to a thing or we can access a service for you? I mean, our mantra is to help people make more of life. And yes, we're a charity and people don't necessarily want to accept charity, but these are services that they can tap into that they're eligible for. You know, they've paid into a system all of their working lives, our customers, and they deserve better and they deserve 100%. More. And, you know, I absolutely agree with what you've just said there, that sometimes trying to get them to accept help can be really, really difficult. But, you know, we're resilient folk.
And absolutely,
we have ways and means.
It gets to a point there where there's so much, because at the end of the day, where someone has understanding over their care support needs and they make that final decision that they don't want any help, then you have to respect it. But leave the doors open. Say, look, call this number if you need us.
Yeah.
And then go from there. Because the person might have alternative support as well. They might have family members or friends. And I know people that yourselves, I'm sure, support people that don't necessarily need a package of care. It's just there's other services out there that you provide that they can benefit from. Do you know what I mean? So
we absolutely do. So the services, as I said before, you know, there's a broad raft of services available to our customers. And not everyone needs to leverage a benefit entitlement check. Absolutely. Not everyone needs advice and support. Many of our customers are very, very capable. But we are there for them. And if, in fact, they want to go to a Tai Chi class or they're interested in going to the book club, they at least know where to find us. But I think the most difficult thing that we find is those hard to reach customers who don't know we exist. You know, we're really busy on social media. We're very active on social media. We have all of the typical platforms that you could imagine, you know, Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and TikTok. We have all of those platforms. But if you're not digitally engaged,
yeah,
how do you
right.
find out about those services?
100%,
so we rely hugely on the local community. That local community are our very best ambassadors. We would like to be able to say to someone within that particular postcode area, find out about our services, come to us, even if it's not for yourself, but it might be for your neighbour two or three doors along. And if with their permission and their consent, you could make a phone call and ask us about a particular service, we could then send out information. It's the people that we don't know who are in our neighbourhoods, who we can't reach, who don't know about us because they're not digitally engaged and they are potentially isolated, they're alone, and they don't know that we can support them and they don't know where to find us. So those hard-to-reach customers, they're the ones that we really need to tracked. We really need to get to those people so we can offer them support as and when they need it. Because you're quite right, not everyone needs our support. And we tend to find, with our social media platforms, it's the younger, older person who is actually the follower
yes.
of our platforms. They're the person who they might be looking for information on behalf of their mum, their dad, their aunt, their uncle, that kind of thing. But at least they're reaching out and they're being proactive.
Yeah.
They then know how to, if you like, attract our attention and get services from us. But those hard to reach groups of people who are still behind their front doors, who are potentially lonely and isolated, that we could help, we really need to rely on the community to get that person's attention and plug them into our services for when they do need them.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we're just going to another ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Sonia, absolutely, totally agree with you on what you were saying before. Digital media, social media, etc. is not always accessible for the older population. In the future, that will be different, as we know. The people that are in their 20s and 30s right now, and 40s, let's say, and 50s, you know, and to be fair, 60s as well. But and it could be anyone of own ages, but more than likely, it's that age group right now which have some level of, you know, access to social media, because anyone, you're right, 100%, is family members that usually are aware of, you know, where to find people and over the internet and that kind of thing. But then you do get people that don't have that much contact with a family or friends, and they're quite isolated. So, and 100%, you've got to rely on the community for that. Age UK, is there a remit?
In what sense, Gavin?
Basically, in terms of, there's a point where you can't provide a certain level of service. It's kind of almost crossing over into, I could give you an example. In fact, I can answer this question myself. But like, for example, you get care agencies that go in to help people. Obviously, Age UK, I believe, don't provide that certain level of care. However, saying that, I have heard there is commission service from Age UK, a part of it, which do provide home services now. I only heard that in the last few years. Is that correct?
Well, we do. Actually, we have our own, if you like, social care arm. So Age UK is a charity, and we have to work only with people who are aged 50 plus in our geographical patch, which is North Tyneside. However, what we did a number of years ago, and Age UK, the charity, has been around now for 51 years, so we're a well-established charity. But a few years ago, we set up a social enterprise. And the social enterprise actually can charge for services, and the profit that social enterprise creates is then fed back into the charitable work that we do to support people in North Tyneside. So our social care arm, and I won't mention the name because I might get into trouble. So our social care arm actually can support people aged 18 plus and not just in North Tyneside. So that gives us a greater level of flexibility. So we provide services to people from a very low level, and that could be things like grocery shopping, enabling them, getting them out and about and that kind of thing, domestic cleaning at home for them. We provide wellbeing services. So we have three, if you like, wellbeing centres, which are probably more commonly addressed and known as day centres, daycare centres.
Yes,
and they,
right, yeah,
they offer respite to people who are the carer of a person who potentially has a diagnosis, something like dementia or Parkinson's and that kind of thing. So we can support them in a wellbeing centre. And then we have, if you like, our in-home services where we can deliver personal care. Right the way across the spectrum, sadly, to end of life and palliative care. So although as an Age UK, you're right, our remit is very defined, and it's geographically defined, and it's defined by a demographic. But actually our social enterprise then can support other people in a much wider remit and can generate a small income, which then supports the charitable work that we do. And it gives us longevity. And obviously, it makes the whole charitable business, in inverted commas, more viable.
Absolutely. And it's brilliant strategy as well. As well as helping people, you're helping the organization to continue helping people. Because at the end of the day, Age UK needs money to be able to be run. So in that sense, it's kind of, it's definitely a positive way forwards. You know, have you at the top of your mind got an example of how Age UK have helped a particular individual, maybe someone that your staff members have been helping? Is there anything that springs to mind at all, like just like a general case study?
Yeah, actually, I've got a customer that I work with who is a veteran, ex-services gentleman. And, you know, I'd met him a number of times in our work with Operation Veteran in North Tyneside. And on a Wednesday, we do a wellbeing walk on the beach in beautiful Tynemouth at Long Sands. And this gentleman actually had gone into decline, and he wasn't able to continue to do the wellbeing walks. He was having a lot of difficulties, you know, with his lower limbs. Anyway, so he'd obviously gone to his GP, and he was diagnosed with a condition which was affecting the circulation in his lower limbs, and it was making it very, very painful for him to move and to walk. And obviously, as you'll appreciate, walking on the beach was really quite painful and difficult for him. So, I convinced him, and I have to say convinced, because not everybody is keen to look at benefit entitlement. And because he was now walking with a stick, and he's, you know, his GP, and he'd been to the hospital, and he'd been properly diagnosed. Ultimately, it turned out that this gentleman was eligible for a blue badge for his vehicle, okay, which meant that when he parked, he could at least get closer to where his destination was. And it made the walking much less painful for him. You know, even simple things like going to the store for groceries. This gentleman was finding it really difficult to do this kind of stuff. So we did get him a blue badge, which was incredible. It turned out that he was also eligible for what they call attendance allowance.
Yep.
And his partner then ultimately received carer's allowance to support him at home with a lot of his needs, because his needs are rapidly escalating, unfortunately. So their standard of living has massively improved as a result of being entitled to benefits that they weren't aware of altogether. But also it means that he's not going to be continually withdrawn because he can't get out and get to places. He has a great social network of his ex-services colleagues. But because of his difficulties with mobility, he was finding it really quite difficult to remain engaged, and was becoming isolated as a result. So, I mean, that's just a real snapshot. There are so many different
examples,
stories,
yep,
so many examples, Gavin, honestly. Yeah, and, you know, as I said before, our remit is really quite vast. And it's all about connecting people. It's about enabling them to have a healthy physical body, a healthier mind, and remaining connected with their community and living independently at home for longer. That's what we hope to achieve with the services that we offer.
Which is brilliant to aim for. Are there any challenges in delivering the service at all?
Lots of challenges. Funding is a challenge.
I knew, you know, I didn't want to say, I was thinking, no, funding is going to be.
I'm not going to pitch for funders, don't worry. I generally think that funding is always a challenge. We're very, very lucky that we're funded predominantly by, for instance, the NHS funds us to deliver lots of different services. What can happen, though, and I'm not suggesting this is, you know, relative to the NHS commissioned services we offer, but sometimes we can receive a small amount of funding and it can be time bound. So attracting staff, actually good quality staff, on the back of a short term funding application, that can be quite challenging too. And lots of charities will tell you the same thing, that actually recruitment is an issue for us, you know, aside from everything else that we're facing. Because let's face it, you know, we're using energy like everyone else. The cost of living, you know, prices going up. I mean, just in the last month, literally every single one of our venues that we use for our social and physical activities has had to put the price up, you know, for our venue hire. So all of those little things, if you like, nibble away at the, you know, the available fund that we have. And as I mentioned before, apart from all those typical challenges that any charity would talk about, it's reaching some of our customers, those hard to reach customers. They're the ones that we really want to attract to our services if we possibly can. So engaging the community, helping the community better understand what we do so they can help their neighbours in their own network, that is massively important to us, actually.
No, it sounds it. How do you form links with the community?
Engaging, getting out and about there. Sometimes you might find us stood in a shopping centre. You might find us in a community centre.
Leaflets and that kind of thing.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. We have lots of leaflets. Leaflets are now back in vogue, of course. During the pandemic, no leaflets, no touching. Yeah, masks, visors, all that kind of thing. So, yeah, we're continually updating our leaflets to keep them fresh and make them attractive and make sure that customers are aware of what we're doing. In North Tyneside, and I'm not sure if this is the same in the rest of the country, but North Tyneside, council created, I think, hundreds literally of what are called as warm welcome spaces. So these are places where not just older people, but anyone within the community can come, receive a warm welcome, as the name suggests, have a cuppa, you know, have a brew, maybe have some soup and something like this, and connect with the local community. So those kinds of spaces are where we meet and talk to people, but importantly, listen to people and find out what their issues are. Because, you know, it's great to be able to broadcast what we do. It's great to amplify and tell people about the kind of services, but actually listening to people, that way they influence the services that we can then deliver for them.
No, absolutely. And a lot of the service is made up of volunteers, is that right?
That is absolutely right. Our army of great, fantastic, wonderful volunteers who give up their time for free to support the kind of services that we do. So I mentioned before, one of our volunteers, you know, our befriending team of volunteers. We have about 50 befriending volunteers on our books at the moment. But we also have some sort of more niche areas. So I'm thinking particularly about a lady who comes in on a weekly basis, who's just lovely, wonderful woman. And she supports our HR facility. Okay. And she does a lot of admin for us. She lives really close. She uses our services. She's actually part of our How Fit program. So she's a customer, but she's also a volunteer well. So she's fantastic. We've also got a volunteer, a gentleman who updates our website. So, you know, just because this gentleman is much older doesn't mean to say that he's not tech savvy, because believe me, he is. He's phenomenal. Yeah, so we have lots of different volunteers who come to us for lots of different reasons, actually. Yeah, and we give them a warm welcome too.
I'm sure. What's some of their backgrounds? I mean, you've mentioned a few things, some people maybe from HR and IT. Do you get other people from other different backgrounds? I'm sure it must vary.
It does vary enormously. And it's not just retired people either, Gavin. Especially during the pandemic, what we found was that obviously people were working from home. They were feeling isolated themselves. So we had an influx of volunteers, actually, who would do telephone befriending, sometimes even in their lunch hour period. Oh. So lots of people come to a charity to volunteer for lots of different reasons. Predominantly, they want to give something back. They might have had a career in a certain area. They have skills. They have competencies that they feel that they can share. You know, today, I know our chief executive had an interview with a potential trustee, and she was absolutely blown away by this potential trustee, who's a local author, by the way, lived in this area all of her life, but is a really grounded individual with great skills, great knowledge that she can bring to the charity. So, you know, we are looking for trustees, we are looking for volunteers. And, you know, if somebody looks on our website, for instance, or any of the Age UK's locally, their websites, they will see volunteer opportunities listed there. But it's always worth just picking up the phone and just having a chat. Talk to us. You know, we're great at talking. And, you know, we're great at listening too. So I think there's always an opportunity for somebody who can bring something to this party.
So basically, if there's any volunteers out there that are listening, they can just go on the website and just get in touch that way, really, just have a, and maybe someone have a chat.
Yeah, what I would suggest is, because obviously we're not just talking about North Tyneside here, I would suggest they literally type into their search engine, Age UK volunteer, and they'll be able to have a look on their local Age UK's website to see what volunteering opportunities are available to them. And in some cases, volunteers do have to be DBS checked, as you would expect.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, there are those, as you would imagine, you know, we have to safeguard our customers. But yeah, there are lots of different opportunities out there for people to get involved, you know, at lots of different levels.
Are there any more plans for Age UK in providing different services at all? Anything new?
It's always evolving. It's always evolving, Gavin, because our customers are changing constantly. Their needs and their aspirations as they age are changing. We were approached just this week, actually, to put a beach fitness class on one of our local. We're very lucky where we are. We have some amazing coastlines, absolutely beautiful coastlines. And we were approached to do some, you know, beach fitness sessions for older people. Why not? Why not be on our beautiful coastline in the fresh air, hopefully with the sun on your face, mixing with your local community and hopefully building your resilience? So our offer is constantly evolving depending on the requirements of our customers.
Sounds brilliant. Sounds amazing. If people wanted to find out more information about you know, your services, where's the best place to look?
I would, if they're digitally enabled, get on the internet. Just search for Age UK in whatever region you're in. Obviously, we're North Tyneside, but you're quite right. You mentioned it previously, Gavin, that many of the local Age UKs do have a suite of comparable and consistent services, like befriending, like information and advice. But then, as you'd expect, depending on that local area and the geography, they do have different services. Get online, have a look, give us a ring, drop us an email, pop into the office and find out what we offer. I would imagine people will be very surprised, actually, at the breadth of services available to them.
Absolutely. If anyone wants to get in contact with yourselves North Tyneside, where you're situated, can people have a chat with you maybe about things, or is that okay if you just let us know where best to contact you?
Absolutely. Our telephone number is 0191 280 8484. They will get through to our phenomenal customer service team, who will make them very welcome, and then, like I said before, they'll triage the call. They'll find out exactly what that customer might need or want from us, and then they'll place them with the best person to deliver that support and service for them. Absolutely. Get in touch with us. We love to talk to people.
Brilliant.
We're from the Northeast. We're good talkers.
Can people email yourselves as well?
Of course. inquiries@ageuknorthtyneside.org.uk. They can go on the website and they can email us via the website too.
Brilliant.
Or contact us on social media.
Is Twitter and Instagram you're on as well, is it?
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok and LinkedIn.
That's brilliant. You're everywhere.
We are everywhere.
Fantastic.
Omnipresent.
And I think it's brilliant that you've got that social media presence, you know, because it's ever for more popular, you know, and every day it grows more popular, social media.
It does. I mean, I would have never thought that we would be as popular as we are on platforms like Instagram and TikTok, because we find that our audience on Facebook, for instance, is our actual audience and customer. So if you like, the service user of our products, they follow us on Facebook. But then the younger audiences, you know, the grandson, the granddaughter, they're actually on TikTok. They're on Instagram, and they're the next generation of people who will be having to support their parents or their grandparents to identify relevant services. So we're looking across all of these different platforms to make sure we attract lots of different audiences to amplify the message.
100%. Sonia, you've been brilliant. Thank you so much for your time. It's been
You're
really,
very welcome,
really
Gavin. Thank you for the opportunity.
That's absolutely my pleasure. As I said, I think it's brilliant what Age UK do, and yourselves, you know, as an organisation. So thank you so much. What can I say? And that's behalf of people that I'm sure work with you as well, and that you work with, you know. So thank you for your time today, Sonia.
Thank you, Gavin. Really appreciate it.
And thanks to our listeners. You know, you can find me on Instagram at GavinJ417. Until next time, take care.